I'm Donald Waters, and welcome to Pocket Cinema, a conversation show about Alan Turing, World War II, and much, much more.
Today on the show, we have...
I'm Nate Hall, everybody, and we also have today...
Tyler Carson.
Ohio Northern University's very own Dr. Russ Crawford. How you doing today?
Good. Good.
Good. Okay. So you've had one of his classes, that's correct?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Do you like the class?
Yeah,
I mean, he's right here. Better say you liked it, right?
No, yeah, it's fun. I enjoyed it. It was cool.
So we only have Dr. Russ Crawford here for about 30 minutes. So first question that I'm going to ask all of our guests is, what's your favorite movie and why?
Well, my favorite movie is probably The Naked Gun.
Oh.
Because it's funny. Or anything by Mel Brooks. Yeah. Funny movies are good,
mm-hmm.
and they don't screw up too much history.
What are some other of your favorite funny movies?
Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles. Just watched that the other night again.
Could not be made today.
No, probably not. Let's see, what else is The Naked Gun? Then there was two sequels. Police Squad, The Smell of Fear, some Naked Gun, The Smell of Fear, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but all those sequels.
Okay.
Sport movies, anything with Kevin Costner is good.
Mm. So, Dancing with Wolves?
No.
No? But you just said anything.
Any sport movie with Kevin Costner.
True.
Dances with Wolves was too long.
Oh, I never watched it.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but it was too long, and I saw it in a theater without a bathroom. Not good.
Okay, so the main reason we have you here is because Tyler Carsten, for the last episode, recommended the film The Imitation Game. Did you guys like it?
Yeah, yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. Okay, so mainly we have you here to analyze the historical accuracy of the film.
Well, when I watched it, I didn't see too much that I thought was incorrect about it. But in preparation for tonight, I went back and looked at Hollywood versus History and some other sites, and apparently it was pretty bad.
How so?
One site said it was about 42% correct.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they messed up a lot of scenes.
Do you know which ones specifically?
Well, the biggest thing that I probably should have caught... And since you took, Nate took U.S. since 1877 with me, we talked about Bletchley Park during World War II and the effort to break the German Enigma Code.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I mentioned in class, but I certainly knew that the Poles had started breaking the Enigma Code and the Enigma machine back in 1932 or so.
Right.
And so that's something that wasn't mentioned in the movie, that Turing had a leg up on breaking this code because the Poles had already done most of the groundwork.
Okay, yeah. No, at least in this movie, they made it seem nothing like that. They made it seem like Alan Turing did it all from, you know, his own head.
Yeah, yeah. It made it seem... Apparently, he didn't build the machine at Bletchley Park. I don't think it ever was at Bletchley Park. It was someplace else. Hmm. It made it seem like he built the machine, and actually it was built by a manufacturing concern who could make a film.
Okay.
They did get some things right, but towards the end of the movie, it made it seem like the police were on to him or looking at him because he was possibly a Soviet spy, but that wasn't the case. The young man he was having an affair with was maybe a prostitute, and he stole some stuff from Turing, and Turing reported it to the police, and they quickly figured out what was going on, and Turing gave a 4 or 5 page confession, which he probably shouldn't have. So they got that wrong.
Okay, yeah.
The biggest thing from the historical standpoint, though, is the help that the Polish cryptoanalyst gave to Turing to make the Bomba machine. In the movie, it's named...
Christopher,
yeah. But the actual name was the Bomba. That was what the Poles called it before. And so he was just extending their work.
Mm. All right, yeah.
That's probably the most egregious error because... Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the rest of it's artistic license, but mm-hmm. geez, help, you know, give the Poles a nod there.
As a movie, did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
Mm. Okay.
Another criticism I read about it, which makes sense now, is that they made Turing seem like, it was Benedict Cumberbatch mm-hmm. playing yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch. He could have been Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
In there. Sort of a high-functioning sociopath, as he calls himself in the Holmes. What is it? Sherlock?
Yeah, Sherlock.
Yeah. And so one of the criticisms was that they played him like that, and in real life, he was fairly sociable and along well with people.
Okay.
Oh.
They put in some conflict between him and his superiors that didn't really exist.
Mm.
They had some scenes of him talking about the Bomba or Enigma in a bar with, what was her name?
I don't remember, but
I'm terrible with names, yeah.
Yeah, the woman he was engaged to at one point.
Celine or something like that?
Might be Susan, something along those lines.
No.
And he never would have done that. I mean, they were very security conscious. They were mm-hmm. they were so security conscious that we didn't find out about this effort to break the codes until the 1970s. That was the biggest secret of World War II. And so they didn't go, you know, yapping about it in a bar, because eventually that secret would have come out, and
right.
it didn't. Mm. It was the most closely guarded secret. Of course, there was a Manhattan Project, but we found out about that on August 6, 1945, when we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the biggest secret of the war.
Okay. Actually, there was something in the movie. It was when he sent out, like, that crossword puzzle for everybody to solve. There was one thing. It started, I think it was in London. There were air raids happening, and everybody just started going down the tunnels. But, like, it seemed so normal to them. Was that just something that reoccurred a lot?
It did. Okay. Yeah, it was sometimes an every night event. Some people have suggested that maybe that was the narrative that the British put out at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, ho-hum, it's the Blitz again. We got to go down to the subway.
Okay.
Yeah, and so they... What was the Queen Elizabeth, the King at the time, his motto, keep calm and carry on?
Oh.
Yeah, that was sort of the narrative that they were pushing. Everybody's just going about their life, and, you know, it's a bother, but we got to go down in the underground.
Yeah.
And so that was true.
Okay.
To a certain extent, I'm sure if the bombs landed close, people were pretty scared.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yeah. And apparently that was another mistake. The Turing had nothing to do with the Times puzzle thing.
Oh, okay.
The Times did have a puzzle contest, and the Bletchley Park people did offer those who did it quickly a chance at a job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that much was true, at least.
Right.
The British GCHQ, their code-breaking people, said the only thing that was correct about that movie was that there was World War II and that Turing's first name was Alan. Everything else was false.
So was the whole MI6 thing not true then, or was that something?
Investigating Turing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was false.
Okay. That was all Hollywoodized?
That was Hollywoodized.
Any questions, Tyler?
No.
No?
Oh, actually, did it pass the sleep test?
Yeah.
So you watched it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you usually fall asleep?
Oh, yeah.
It's often for him.
Yeah. Mm. We call it the sleep test if he doesn't fall asleep.
What movies you fallen asleep in?
So many.
Tried falling asleep through the Super Mario Bros. Movie. I fallen asleep to... I know it's the basketball one. And a lot of
Slam Dunks.
Slam Dunk?
It's a basketball anime.
Oh, anime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's just right off the top of my head.
There's been a
ton of other ones.
Do you like any anime?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which
Cowboy Bebop was good.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Inuyasha had some historical elements.
Oh.
Was it Inuyasha that had the episode about Commodore Perry's sailors coming to Japan and they played a baseball game.
Anime is their wheelhouse.
Maybe. I haven't seen that show.
I don't think that was Inuyasha. That was another one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. But there was an episode about Commodore Perry's sailors and the characters playing baseball, which was fascinating.
Mm. Have you heard of Vagabond then? It's a famous, like, it's a, like about the great samurai Masha. Here, come back to it. I got a
The one who wrote the book of the Six Rings? Masa Shigi?
No, I don't think so.
The one who wrote the Hagakure? Yamamoto Tsunetomo?
No.
Masa Shigi was the. The one who wrote the Book of the Six Rings, maybe?
I think. But the swordsman it's about was Masashi Miyamoto.
Miyamoto. Is he real?
From what I remember, it's like, it's more fictionalized, but it's about the Japanese swordsman. Based on Musashi, E.G. Yoshikawa's novel. So maybe it's not.
Maybe not. Musashi Miyamoto, that might have been the name of the... Meh. Wait.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway. So, no, I don't know that one.
Okay, I mean, it's a manga, so it's they never made it into, like, an actual anime show.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
I know Eye Shield 21, have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
It's a Japanese manga with football. American football is its central idea.
Mm-hmm.
My grandsons are into manga right now, and yeah. So they're... They're consuming all this stuff.
Which ones are they reading?
I don't know. Some French stuff.
Oh. So is Tintin French?
Yes, it is. Well, it's Belgian. Mm. I think it's Belgian.
I don't know.
Oof, boy.
Sophie's going to be mad about that one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the writer of that was Belgian.
Mm.
But they all love it. Mm. The French do. Yeah.
Okay. What are Sophie's favorite movies?
Poppy Fait la Résistance.
Never heard of it.
It's a comedy about World War II and the Resistance.
Okay.
Amelie was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. There are some comedy movies as well. OSS, SS or something. I can't remember the exact title. But quite a few. She likes The Naked Gun, and she laughed just as hard as I did at Blazing Saddles.
Okay. Any other questions?
I don't have anything, I don't think.
No?
Nope. Okay.
Well, see what I tell you? Not even 15 minutes.
There we go. Efficiency in action.
Uh-huh. Anything else you want to say about The Imitation Game?
Oh... Well, you know, it's probably one of those movies that has a lot of little things and some of the big things that didn't come out right, but the whole effort to break the Enigma code, as far as movies on that go, it's probably one of the better ones. I mean, U-571, have you ever seen that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was about an effort to capture a U-boat, and they captured... two or three Enigma machines that are on the U-boat.
Okay.
But in the Hollywood telling, they had John Bon Jovi as one of the people that captured the U-boat. It was a British operation. Mm-hmm. So, as far as it goes, that's not bad.
Hmm.
And if you've seen Midway, they talk about the other half of the equation in World War II, the magic intercepts. That was the code name given to... our effort to break the Japanese diplomatic and naval codes, which was also successful. So that was a pretty fascinating part of the war that, like I say, we didn't know anything about until 1977, I think, almost, when somebody wrote a book about that.
Hmm.
So all the movies made prior to 1977, well, were just wrong because they didn't know they didn't know everything.
Right.
So the first Midway movie, well, doggone it, we got lucky and we found the Japanese. So we just had a hunch we were coming. Well, the second movie, We knew they were coming because we were reading their radio traffic. So,
I guess, would you say then, The Imitation Game, do you think it's worth watching for people who are interested in the history of cracking the Enigma code?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is. I guess they were pretty accurate with the machine itself, although that's what it looked like without the cover. You know, it had a like a matte black finish or so.
Oh, okay. Right.
An exoskeleton, if you will.
Yeah.
And so that looked okay. But how difficult it was and how important it was to the war effort, you know, some people argue shorten the war by 2 to 4 years. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
That's what the movie said at the end.
Yeah. That's what they said. Who knows? Okay. It's hard to tell looking backwards.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thanks for joining us.
I'm free.
Yeah.
Whoa, it's cold out.
Yeah.
Well, never mind.
You're good. Thank you. Okay, well, that was Dr. Russ Crawford. What did you think about him as a guest? I thought he was pretty funny.
I thought, yeah, I enjoyed it. He brought a good historical aspect to it, which is what I love history, so I always love learning about this stuff. So it was very nice to see. And that's definitely going to hurt my rating, though. Now that I know it's pretty, not inaccurate. It's the word.
You don't have much to say, Tyler.
There wasn't very much to say.
I don't think he wanted to talk to an adult that he didn't know.
Yeah, stranger danger.
But you talked to Cole pretty well.
Stranger danger.
Well, Cole's not a stranger. Cole's like 3 years older than us, maybe.
He's 23.
He's 3 years older. Yeah. So, like, that's... But Russ is...
What are you trying to say?
They're a young man, just a little older than...
Sorry, I don't have good relations with teachers.
Yeah, because he would fail you if you went here.
So, you didn't take a history class with Russ. Did you even take one yet?
Well, I'm taking one now with Dr. A, but it's more politics. It's not history.
What is it?
Mass media and politics.
Oh, okay. I'm currently in Western Civilization with your dad, Professor Robert Waters. That's quite a time.
Well, how was your guys' week, dude?
It's been pretty good.
Bad.
Why has it been bad?
Why?
My truck broken.
What? Yeah, that's what happens when you run it through the sand dunes. That's what happens when you run it through the sand dunes.
I gave it new coils and now it needs new spark plugs.
Whenever he tries to fix his truck, it seems to break. Before we went on our trip to NPC, he tried to change something. Crap shoot sensors. The sensors.
And I had to change it back. And it was fine.
It set us back a good,
3 hours.
3 hours. It was fine.
I forgot to mention that I am retooling the show so that we don't talk about a new movie and then a recommended movie. We're just going to talk about the recommended movie, but that also means the episodes are going to be shorter probably if we don't have anything else to talk about other than that movie. Well, The Imitation Game.
So, after hearing Dr. Crawford's take on it, historically wise, I had it at an 8. Probably going to go 6 or 7, because it's a really good movie, but they definitely, from what it sounds like, they made it Hollywood, which is kind of annoying, because obviously they wanted to make it look like Alan Turing did everything to make
Turing.
It seem like
you keep Turing. Saying Turing.
My bad. It is Turing. Okay.
Turing, T-U-R-I-N-G.
Yeah, so they made it look like Alan Turing was such a genius, and he didn't get any help at all with getting the machine and everything, which obviously is not true now that we know. Which is something I could see with Hollywood.
They got help with the machine?
I don't... He's like... He sent out requests to get parts.
Yes, but the other people just weren't convinced of the machine yet. And once they were, they helped out.
Yeah, but I mean with the construction of the machine, he didn't build it, which they made it seem like he did. And also him figuring everything out with cracking the Enigma code, he got help from the Poles.
Yeah. I say that I can throw that in, but building the machine definitely would have to be that him building it would make it so much better for the movie than
Yeah, I just got they, I just I got see machine. Why they did it.
But they could have at least mentioned slight help from
So why'd you want to watch this movie, Tyler? For the podcast?
I saw it on Netflix.
Is that the only reason?
It said mathematician.
And that's what you are.
Well, he's a human calculator. Yeah. When Dr. Crawford was here, he talked about how they made Benedict Cumberbatch seem like such like a social outcast and a weird person. And honestly, he reminded me of a even worse Sheldon.
Sheldon Cooper.
Yeah, even worse Sheldon Cooper. And I just thought it was so funny. But it did make me want to watch Sherlock again. Because, I don't know, I love Benedict Cumberbatch. He's a great actor. To me, at least.
I agree.
What'd you think about the movie, Tyler?
Really good.
Really good?
Probably an 8.
What'd you like about it?
Everything.
Was it better than Multiverse of Madness?
Probably not.
Why not?
Well, Multiverse of Madness has that superhero charm.
Yeah.
But Benedict Cumberbatch is not... If you watch it...
The Multiverse of Madness was definitely more historically accurate, so...
if you watched it as a spinoff of... With Doctor Strange instead... Alan... Yeah. See, there's your superhero charm.
Just imagine just AI just putting Doctor Strange in there instead.
Well, it's just a multiverse where... Stephen Strange is actually Alan Turing.
Yeah. It takes a magician, you know?
Oh. I was speaking of, like, Doctor Strange, Marvel, Fantastic Forecast.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Fantastic Forecast got released. Yeah, I don't know the names other than Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal.
That's what I said,
you
right?
You said Pedro.
I said, okay, I know it's Pedro. The Fantastic Forecast, so... Pedro Pascal's playing Mr. Fantastic, which I'm not against. I think he's going to do really good with it, because everything I've seen with him, he's great. But he's not who I imagined. And I heard all these rumors floating around, and I'm like, I just don't think he's exactly the Reed Richards I'd see. And I don't think John Krasinski should have came back. You get it. I don't think Jim should have came back to play Mr. Fantastic. I think he was cool as a one-off character. And I think he could come back in, like, Secret Wars or something. That'll be cool. But we could have saw something else, somebody else. But I think Pedro Pascal is going to be great. He always is. And I probably will get used to him. I just kind of hope he doesn't have his famous, like, beard. The Reed Richards I know, and if I guess it depends on what the movie's about, he's young. Or not young, but, like, he doesn't have any facial hair, which is kind of what I'd imagine. Vanessa Kirby's playing Sue Storm, which I don't know if I've seen Vanessa Kirby in anything. Guess, wait, okay, so she recently starred in Napoleon. Why does it say two? She might have been,
If my data was working, I could tell you.
What?
I don't know.
My phone wasn't loaded.
I guess she was in the two latest Mission Impossible movies, too. Then we got Joseph Quinn, who's playing Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. That's Sue Storm's brother. He's known, I guess, for recently... He took a prominent role in Stranger Things Season 4. Was he who I think he was?
I never watched it.
She was in The Imitation Game?
Who? Vanessa Kirby?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Who is she?
Good question.
Oh, you played Eddie Munson. Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
It all comes, it's such a small world.
And then the lovable thing is being played by Eben Moss Bachrock. Don't know if that's how you say his name. Probably not. Let's see. He's in the hit drama series from Hulu, The Bear, which is a very popular show. I haven't watched it yet, other than the first episode, but I do want to. It seems really good. Joan. She's in The Punishers, too.
Joan was the name.
Yeah.
I was like, it's not Susan. I was like, I could tell you if I heard it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was Susan, but that was the name in my head. So I just kind of threw something out there. But that's Fantastic Forecast. I'm a big Marvel nerd. I've probably said this about every time on the episode. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see the Fantastic Four again. It's got to be better than the, like, I think 2015... whenever it was with Michael B. Jordan.
Fan-four-stick.
Yeah, Fan-four-stick. Yeah, that was... something. That was actually probably the first movie I saw and actually hated. Because I tend to love every movie, I've been told.
Shout out to Jack Armstrong. Me and Jack watched that. I think it was a rainy Saturday morning. I forget how old we were, but Jack was insistent that we turn it off. And I said, no. We're finishing it. And we heard,
what are we, some kind of...
No, that's Suicide Squad.
I don't remember the movie, like, at all.
What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
Alan Turing in the Imitation Game. What are we, playing some kind of Imitation Game?
Yeah, I think he actually said something along those lines in the movie. There is a little more to talk about. So one thing I wanted to talk about was Alan Turing was... they, like, as Russ said, the FBI or MI6 was investigating him, and they found, because they thought he was a Soviet spy, but it turned out that he was gay. And throughout most of the movie, I feel like it's hard to tell. In the, like, the first while, they don't really talk anything about it, and then they start going back to his past, and we see that he develops, like, this friendship with, I believe the name was Christopher, and I think that's why they named the machine Christopher. And we start to see that those two had feelings for each other. And after the spring break, should we say spoilers at some point?
Spoilers!
So, after the spring break or whatever it was, we come back to find that Christopher passed away, and I can't remember what it was exactly. But... that, you know, that was hard on Alan Turing. The thing was, I feel like they put it to the sideline, and in, like, the last not even half hour, maybe, they kind of focused in on it and made it the rest of the movie. Because I felt like they rushed that in. The ending felt weird to me. They kind of rushed, so, like, they cracked the Enigma code, they all went their separate ways, and then Alan Turing eventually confesses to the police, and they would either sentence him to jail or
hormone concentration.
Yeah, something like that, where it's pretty much scare him straight.
Yes, this is gonna scare him as I inject you with chemicals.
I think I hit that one on the nail, but I do like how they kind of represented that. At least, like, you could see he was shaking. He was. Yeah. Just a mess. And it was, like, it's terrible to see that. Even then, I don't know how they thought that. What?
I didn't understand the scene where they were like, he was like, I care for you. Don't be here after he learns about the spies. He's like, I care for you. Leave. And she's like, I care for you. I know you're gay. We can have a life together. And he's like, yeah, I no longer care for you.
I don't
know. And she's like, the fuck?
I don't know if it was just because he was trying to keep her safe from the FBI.
Yeah, but she knew that he still cared. And that he went from straight up, within the span of a minute, from, I care for you, please leave, to, I no longer care for you, get out of here.
It might have been him trying to push her away for the sake of safety. I don't think it was well executed either.
Yeah, because it's a swap within 30 seconds.
But yeah, I do feel like they put the whole... thing of Alan Turing being gay pushed to the side and then rushed it, which it's just, I think that's unfair. And it definitely could have been longer, and I hate to say that because I don't like movies being super long, but this movie probably could have used some more time. Because I really like...
more historically accurate with more time and more slightly more details.
Yeah. Because it ran by pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. It was really fast paced.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I didn't understand this. I'm just sitting there like, you know, the messages end in Hail Hitler. That's all you need.
What's interesting about this movie is that for Oscar Best Picture, they can nominate 10 movies, and the year that this came out, only 9 were nominated, and this wasn't. The other nominees were La La Land, amazing movie, Arrival, amazing movie, Lion, I haven't seen. Hell or High Water, haven't seen. Hidden Figures, it's okay. Moonlight, incredible, amazing. Hacksaw Ridge, it was okay. Manchester by the Sea, I haven't seen. And Fences, I haven't seen. So, I've only seen like 3 out of the 9.
They definitely could have put Imitation Game in
especially because there was 1 slot left.
Yeah,
they only nominated 9.
I feel like they didn't because they already had a
Hacksaw Ridge?
No, they had the, what was the other one? The one with also a mathematician and doing stuff, right? That was the,
You're not talking
Hidden
about...
Figures?
Hidden Figures.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, yeah. I knew what I was talking about.
So
okay.
You're saying it would have been derivative for them?
Because it would have been almost... It's another mathematician history,
I see where you're coming at, yeah.
Movie that they have in
there. Okay, that's fair.
But they could have at least found another movie for to fill all 10 slots.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I've only seen, I think, La La Land off that list, which probably would have been my movie of the year for that, then.
Because Hidden Figures is the three...
The three girls, yeah.
We saw in Math Class.
Yeah.
Seventh grade?
Okay, I think I
he probably doesn't remember it at all. I watched
it wrote down
recently.
500 digits of pi during
the
class.
The character development was shoddy, I'd say. But other than that, it's pretty good. And if you can look past the historical inaccuracy that it has and look at it like a Hollywood movie... Yeah, it's fun. It's really... It would be a great time. I enjoyed it. And when before I learned that, I loved it. Now it's more of a... Okay, that's kind of annoying. Because I really do enjoy history, and I like accuracy in my history, which, like, I love Society of the Snow.
And then it becomes less of a movie, more of a documentary.
Yeah, they had to strike that perfect balance, which I feel like Society of Snow did.
They probably took way more creative liberties than they probably should have.
Yeah, I feel like they did.
Like, I understand why they made the choices they did, but... Again, that's probably why they weren't nominated for Best Picture.
It could have been. If it's that inaccurate, maybe, yeah, it's not surprising.
Okay, is there anything else to talk about? This kind of a short episode, not even an hour.
Oh, we'll keep talking.
About what?
Well,
the second arc.
Oh, yeah, the second arc.
I can do my X-Men update.
Oh, yeah, your X-Men update.
So, I believe it was Thursday or Friday night, anyways. I watched X-Men The Last Stand, which is the third X-Men movie.
Which one's that?
Third one.
Yes.
What happens?
Well, I don't want to spoil it, so I'll put it in short.
Is it The Travel?
No, that stays a future.
That stays a future. Oh. That's a good movie.
Which one's that one?
I haven't seen that one yet, okay?
Oh, which one's that one?
So, X-Men The Last Stand.
You said you're on the third movie, so when is that? I'm so confused.
What? All right, so goes X-Men.
Yes.
X2, X-Men yes. United. X-Men The Last Stand.
That's what I said. You're on
That's
the
what I'm
one.
On.
Yes.
I just finished
So when's
it.
The Days of Past?
That's in the, what they call the, like, Beginnings Trilogy or something, which includes First Class, Days of Future Past, and Apocalypse.
No.
Anyway.
I wasn't sure if that's what I was asking.
Okay, now I get you.
I was like...
But The Last Stand is kind of... It's a jumbled... It's good. I liked it. But it kind of mashes the Dark Phoenix storyline... slightly with Magneto being badass as usual.
So this is the one? No, that's no.
So have you seen X2?
Mm-hmm. A long time ago.
All right, so you don't mind?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I just got that super. I just got this movie super confused with the Phoenix movie.
So I'm able to say like Dark what Phoenix? Happens at the end of X2.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the end of X2.
Spoiler.
At the end of X2, Jean Grey sacrifices herself and like stops this whole dam from closing in on like the X-Men trying to escape, so she passes away. This movie starts off pretty like, I think it's like a few months after it, maybe. Pretty much Cyclops is a mess because he was in love with her. He's kind of become Wolverine,
and then doesn't he like start seeing her?
Yes. Sorry. Pretty much he starts hearing like Jean Grey call out to her or him. And he starts becoming more like the Wolverine in this case, like I said. And eventually he abandons the X-Men, goes after Jean Grey. And we see that she's alive again. That's all I'll say. And that spawns kind of Dark Phoenix's storyline, which they didn't really follow.
I keep getting mixed up with Dark Phoenix.
See, because they made an X-Men Dark
I
Phoenix movie, I heard.
I watched that for their show at one point, because I haven't seen it. I heard it's supposed to be horrible.
I keep going for this movie, and then I keep... trying to draw the point past that, and I just keep ending up in Dark Phoenix, because I know it's Dark Phoenix that I'm ending up in, and I'm like, I can't say anything about the movie, because it just ends up in a completely different movie.
Yeah, it is. Like, I don't know why they did it twice. The thing is, this one, and I don't even know if the Dark Phoenix movie, like X-Men Dark Phoenix, actually follows the comic, because this one didn't really, which is fine, it was its own take. But that was, I guess, the biggest thing, because it was also Magneto trying to... stop the humans from making a cure to cure the X-Men, because they found a way to do that. That's the big thing, and he used Jean Grey, Dark Phoenix, to his advantage. But a lot of shit happens. I think it's really good. And overall, the trilogy was great. I think my favorite out of the three would be X2. But this one has some great stuff. And I do have one complaint about the whole trilogy is that... in the comics, and I think in probably the animated show, which I just started watching... Well, maybe. But Jean Grey and Cyclops are kind of the lovers. And you kind of see that in that trilogy. But they make, like, Wolverine almost seem like Jean Grey's interest. And it's kind of swapping the two. And they also make Wolverine kind of seem like the leader of the X-Men. When it's really, like... Well, I guess Charles Xavier is the leader. Then, like, you know...
It's Wolverine.
No, it's actually Cyclops. Cyclops is kind of the big leader.
No, I think... Isn't it Beast, though?
No.
I don't think it's Cyclops.
It's Cyclops.
Not portrayed in the movies.
Yeah, that's my problem.
There we go.
From what I remember in the comic, Cyclops was more of the leader. He has a
less interesting power set for the movies.
He's got laser eyes!
That's it!
Wolverine's just got... And I love
and
Wolverine.
Regeneration.
Oh no, we got a hero who can't just heal right away.
My Jean Grey, they're holding Jean Grey in front of him. I can't open my eyes.
Yeah,
I'm blind.
Yeah, there you go. I see where you're coming from. I do think Wolverine's cooler,
and Cyclops causes so much more damage if he's in public. In a public area.
I don't know about that. Have you seen Wolverine fight? He's not exactly pretty with it.
You seen Cyclops fight in the animated series?
He just goes, dink, dink.
There should have been Gambit in there, though.
Yeah, I wonder if he comes in later. I'm not sure. Because I have not watched the X-Men movies. This is my first time going through.
Really?
Yeah. Other than some of Apocalypse, I watched at our friend Andrew's house one sleepover. But yeah. Not to go in for much more, so I don't spoil anything. X-Men The Last Stand, I really liked, and I'm excited. Tonight, actually, me and my roommate Brendan are going to watch X-Men Origins Wolverine, which I've heard.
And I was invited?
Great. No.
Yeah, why
you
not?
Invited.
What the hell?
I've heard it's not great, but I want to watch it still, and I'll see how it is, so I can make my own opinion. But yeah, that's my X-Men update. But speaking of X-Men... During the Super Bowl, and a funny story, the first, I think, about first fucking trailer they showed was Deadpool and Wolverine. I watched the entire Super Bowl, and I am not a football fan, and I missed it. I'm like, why didn't they show the trailer? Because when we started the Super Bowl, we watched the Nickelodeon version to watch SpongeBob and Patrick commentate.
Did you go to that Super Bowl party?
No, I didn't. So,
where were you?
I was just at my house, or my... Brendan's or my dorm.
Sorry, I was working.
I was working during it,
and I wasn't invited.
Yeah, because I'm not a football guy. I don't think any of us here are really football guys.
Not really.
Go Bills.
It's fine to watch.
Yeah.
If everybody else is watching it during like Thanksgiving, I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah,
fine
that's fine. But anyways,
I'm not gonna sit down and watch it by myself.
For the game, whenever the game was actually playing, I turn around my desk and do my homework. Commercials glued to the screen. There are some funny commercials, I'll say that.
You hear that, it's not Timu, it's Temu?
Yeah, they play that 5 times! I could not believe it, because it's like $7 million for 30 seconds, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
That ad's probably 30 seconds, at least.
They didn't even make a new ad. They used the same ad they already had. And they're like, yep.
Like, how do they have that money? Temu is such a scam, I don't know why people buy from it. But, Deadpool and Wolverine. I watched the trailer. Looks amazeballs. Super. Did you watch the trailer?
I didn't watch it.
Were you both stupid or something?
I didn't know there was a trailer for Super Bowl. I hope Colossus is in there. Isn't that his name? Or Colossal?
Colossus. I can't remember, actually.
Or that one chick. I forget her name.
That one chick.
Yeah. That screams? Or I think... No. That's...
You're not talking about, like, Deadpool's love interest, right?
No.
You're not talking about Domino?
Domino.
I don't think she's the one that screams. Or just She might be.
The girl...
The little girl. I don't know.
The girl with glasses? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not... Isn't that Domino? No, Domino's older. I can't remember. It's been a minute. I'm going to watch those movies again, too. But anyways, the trailer itself looks great.
Are they going to be in there? Did Marvel also acquire those?
Yeah, they acquired all the Fox rights. So they own, like...
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they
bought Fox. Is it going to be the MCU?
Yeah, so pretty much what happens is the TVA shows up in it, which is from Loki. So it's really hitting the multiverse, and now we're going to start... And I guess... Spoilers for the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer.
I can't hear this, dude!
Deadpool calls himself... Like the MCU Jesus. Because he's going to come in and save the MCU. Please, Deadpool, save the MCU. We are not in a great state right now.
Oh, so it's like the breaking the fourth wall, like the last time?
Yes. But actually in this trailer, we don't see any of Wolverine until the end, where Deadpool's like lying on the ground or whatever because he got blown up or something. And he's like, you going to give me a hand up? And you see his silhouette, and you see him bring out his claws, and then you watch him go in to stab Deadpool. No, and you just get a quick frame, and then it just cuts off. It's super cool. I'm so excited for this movie. I'm so excited to see Hugh Jackman play Wolverine again. It's going to be great.
We need more baby legs.
Oh, yeah. I might get that. It's because, like, when Deadpool gets his limbs cut off or whatever.
No, Juggernaut ripped him in half.
Yes, when Juggernaut ripped him in half. Yeah, that's all I want to say on the Deadpool 3, or Deadpool and Wolverine is what it's called. I like
that.
And
is that the only Marvel movie we're getting this year?
That's the only Marvel movie.
Woo!
But speaking of more Marvel news... we just, today, got a trailer.
You could just press the button.
Right? You can't.
You can.
Jesus.
Oh, see? Never mind, sorry.
So, today, we just got a trailer for X-Men 97. Which is a continuation of the X-Men animated series, which is why I started watching it again. And it's the X-Men animated series itself is pretty good. The animation, not the greatest. But I don't think they had as great a budget as, like, the Batman animated series. You compare it to that, oh my freaking god. Batman animated series visually is amazing. This, it's pretty good, but it's very campy. And that's fine. But it's fun. And but the 97 or X-Men 97 trailer looks... I'm excited. It's got a, like, mix between 2D CG blend. I think it's going to be a good visual style. And it comes out March 20th, so it's soon.
Because DC had just basically Batman was their only animated series.
No. They had Batman animated series. They had Superman. They did a Justice League. They did Static Shock.
But I think Marvel had more long-running ones.
Yeah, kind of. Well... DC's kind of... Because Teen Titans, which is like 2000s, but
yeah,
if we go back to the 90s, Marvel had at this time X-Men the Animated Series, Spider-Man, and not like the original one.
Iron Man?
There was an Iron Man. Silver Surfer there, one, too.
Yeah, it wasn't... I don't know if it was from the 90s or not. I don't know what it would be. It would be the... Yeah, Silver Surfer, and then it would have MODOK and... Iron Man.
Oh, are you thinking of the you're thinking of this
like really like cartoonish?
No, that's not figures. From the 90s. That's like, from more of our childhood, like 2000s.
I don't know if it was like rolled over from the 90s or not. So
I can't remember what it's called, but no, I don't think so. But yeah, X-Men 97 looks good. That is a Marvel show, so I guess Deadpool's not the only thing we're getting MCU wise. Well, actually, because I don't think.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think it's MCU.
Yeah, it's not MCU. Now that I think about it, because actually they started the trailer out with Marvel Animation, so I think we're getting kind of another thing, because we are getting Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is a animated show, so we're getting our own Marvel animation line, it looks like. But yeah, that's enough about Marvel, sadly.
Sadly. Well, I mean, this was a little bit of a shorter episode, but I do have to be up at, like, 6 tomorrow, because I think at 7:30. Unless there's anything else you guys have to see.
Other than your recommendation.
Arc 2 of One Piece, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
No.
How long is that going to take?
We didn't even finish Arc 1. Yeah. Okay, so I'll do it quick.
Wait, okay.
Arc 1?
Spoilers for One Piece.
So, I'm pretty sure we left off with Usopp joining the Straw Hat Pirates and them getting the Going Merry, which is their famous ship. After this point, we go to the Baratier, which is where we meet the best character in One Piece, Sanji. Vince Moore Sanji.
Tyler's shaking his head no.
It's because this is
we haven't met the best character yet.
Yeah, I'd say so. Never mind. No. Okay.
Yeah, you're gonna do that.
But Sanji, I love him. He's my favorite One Piece character. Anyways, here we get to meet... we also are introduced to Dracula Mihawk, however you say his name. And also Captain Zeff, who... What happens is one of... I think it's Zeff. No, that... Yeah, well, that's the... That's the chef. I'm thinking of the pirate. Don Krieg. So one of Don Krieg's pirates, and he was supposed to be a famous pirate in the East Blue, shows up on the Baratier, which is like a traveling restaurant. And he's like, I'm starving. We entered the Grand Line, and we got immediately decimated. And it was from... And they're like, it was from this dude named Dracula Mihawk. And all the whole reason he killed us, or like destroyed our ship and whatever, is because we woke him up from his nap. So it kind of sets this thing with the Grand Line that this is going to be intimidating as frick. But anyways, Sanji's whole thing is like
they wanted to use the restaurant as the ship back to the Grand Line.
That's a little later. I'm talking about how like Jin is the man from Don Krieg's crew.
Yeah.
Came there, and he's like, I'm starving. Sanji's whole thing is that he'll never let a starving man, well, a man starve. He will always feed somebody. And that's because we find out in his past that him and Captain Zeff, who runs the Baratier, both got in like a pirate wreck, or a shipwreck, and they got stranded on an island with only so much food. And there were two things. Captain Zeff had one, and Sanji had the other. And Captain Zeff had more because he's older, whatever, and Sanji had less, and they both had a ration. And we find out Sanji's like gets through all his food because it's been like a month or something. And he's like, I'm going to go kill the old man and eat him or something like that, or he's going to go steal his food.
Yeah,
going to go see how much. He goes over there and sees that his sack of food was literally just all treasure. And he looks, and he's like, how did you survive? And you see down on his leg that he cut off his own leg to eat. So it's a really powerful moment. But, you know, it's kind of sets Sanji's backstory, even though we get another backstory later on. But, back to the present, Sanji feeds him whatever, and he's grateful. But then he brings Don Krieg over, and Don Krieg kind of takes over the ship or whatever. And they start fighting with Luffy and the gang. And as they're fighting, we meet Dracula Mihawk, who is the greatest swordsman of the world. And that's who Zoro has been wanting to kill. He's wanted to become the greatest swordsman. To do that, he'd obviously have to kill Mihawk. So they duel. Zoro's nowhere near strong enough. And through their battle, you see that. But since Zoro was like such an honorable swordsman, and right when Mihawk was about to like do the finishing blow, he turned around, and he's like slashes on a swordsman's back, or like... the swordsman's greatest shame. A slash on the back is a swordsman's greatest shame. And at that point, like, Mihawk's like, don't die yet, you know.
And Mihawk uses, like, a butter knife.
Yes, Mihawk uses his, like, fucking necklace knife. But, and we get another powerful moment of, like, Zoro vowing to Luffy to never lose again until he becomes the greatest pirate, or the greatest swordsman. And after that, Mihawk leaves, Luffy beats Don Krieg. And throughout this all, Nami takes the Going Merry and steals all their treasure and leaves them. And goes back to her home island.
Arlong Park.
Well, yes, but that's not the name of the actual, like... It practically becomes Arlong Park. This is where...
Hey, Tyler's cheating. It's supposed to be from memory, dude.
We didn't say that.
Yes, we did.
Anyways, I can't remember her hometown, but yeah, it's practically becomes Arlong Park.
Yeah, I don't really remember.
So this is where we learn what the fish like. There are fishmen, and they're like a superior class or superior race. Oh yeah. God, that's. There's see, One Piece goes into a lot of people think One Piece is like just this pirate show, but there's a lot of stuff about like racism, slavery, corrupt governments. There's a lot more to it, and this is kind of one of the things we learn, that these fishmen are super strong people, and we learn that the Arlong pirates are like very ruthless, and they are the strongest in the East Blue. They are the strongest things, but pretty much the government's paying them off to stay in this area. Or no. Arlong is paying the government to leave them alone in this area. He's paying tribute, so they'll just let him be. But he took over this island where Nami lives, And every like month, they'll go over to the town and they'll collect the tribute. And if they don't have it, they'll kill them. And to make a long, long story short, because I know we want to get out of here. Pretty much, Nami made a deal with Arlong for like 100 million berry, which is the currency. Berry is currency in One Piece. That if she got that much, Arlong would free her village. And she got it, but Arlong caught on to it and had the government confiscate it. It's another political case for me. But she, it gets the government takes it. The government takes it away, and at this point, like, all hope is lost for Nami. She can't do it again. And this is where Luffy and the gang come in. She's like, I don't want you guys here. Leave. And Luffy's like, I know. And he just kind of stands there. And eventually Nami's like, Luffy, help me. And Luffy's like, oh, fuck yeah. Goes in, kicks Arlong's ass. Awesome fights. Arlong's beaten. And the crew sets sail to Logtown. And I'll stop there. And don't watch One Piece or read it, because this is a terrible retelling of it. I'm just trying to hit, like,
I started the first episode. I have like 10 minutes left.
The anime?
Yeah, no, of the
live action.
Could not tell you what's going on.
That's probably because you're on your phone.
Pass.
No, it's a great show, and I'm going to keep saying that because I'm a One Piece fucking... I'm a One Piece simp. But it's great. I love it.
Well, okay. Thus concludes... Guys, we're on episode 4.
Yeah.
That means it's been 4 weeks since school started.
Yeah, so that's actually crazy.
How do you feel about episode 4, Tyler? Was this successful?
Yeah.
Yeah? Not a lot to say, but we were concise.
Yeah, we apologize for the shortness of this episode, but it's been a busy week these past couple weeks, so it's hard.
That's why I retooled the show.
Yeah, and I mean, also the movies that are coming out.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that before we leave. Madame Web apparently is supposed to be worse than Morbius.
Which is, it can't be, because Sydney Sweet told us to go see it twice.
But guess what? Guess what? Written by the same people who made Morbius.
So it's going to be a morbid good time.
I really do want to cover that on the show. We got to watch it.
Morbius?
No.
Madame Web.
Yeah.
I still intend to see it.
I think I saw Morbius. I don't remember.
I saw it. It was.
I did.
I don't know. Like 5 out of 10.
I don't know if I watched Morbius or Venom, but it was one of the two.
I still want to see Madame Web eventually. I think it's probably going to be bad from what I've heard and what I see everywhere. But I'm a Spider-Man simp, so I'll watch it and see what I... There's rumors of Tobey Maguire being in, like, the post-credit scene. That might make it
somewhat I'll cut that feasible. Out, because that's spoiler.
It's a rumor. You do you.
Well, all right, and my recommendation for next episode... Tyler, do you have HBO Max?
He has it.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, my recommendation for next episode is Casablanca. It's a 1942 romance movie with Valentine's Day was just here. Yes, you're going to watch it, Tyler. It's probably the best movie ever made.
How long is it?
Like an hour and a half.
Oh, beautiful.
Too long.
Invitation Game was like 2 hours.
It can't be much shorter.
Yeah, but you just said romance movie.
Okay, it's a war movie, too.
It is a war movie.
Yeah,
takes place during World War II. No mathematicians. Oh.
Yes, mathematicians.
Okay. It's a mathematician who also owns a bar.
Get my out.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch this song. Yeah. This will definitely get me.
It's maybe my favorite movie. So we're going to watch that before next episode, which for us is next Thursday, and for you is next Monday. That's a good outro, isn't it? I just thought of that. Okay, everybody. Have a nice Best Picture day, as we said in the first episode.
Oh.
Yeah. Full circle. Anything to say, Tyler?
Nope.
Anything stupid?
I don't say stupid stuff.
We discussed this. Everything he says is
no.
You don't have G Fuel. What were you drinking?
Pineapple mango lemonade from Wendy's.
Is it pretty good? Mm-hmm. Say it.
Say what?
Pineapple mango lemonade.
I just did say that.
Say it at all. Pineapple mango.
Pineapple mango smooth lemonade from Wendy's is good.
Pretty good or good?
Good.
So it's better than candy corn G Fuel.
Yes. But candy corn G Fuel is like
I don't put it at the top, but I don't put it at the bottom.
Tyler's trying to steal one of Nate's Parm Bites. Oh, any last words, Nate?
Thanks for bearing with us.
Apparently we have 74 listeners.
That's cool.
74 people are listening to this. Probably like 5 people are going to listen to this episode. But Russ is on it there, so.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to get some...
People are going to leave after Russ.
I feel like they're going to joke about, like, I feel like stuff's going to go on Yik Yak. Maybe, like, Russ Crawford likes anime. That's going to be funny.
It doesn't feel like it's the end, but, you know, folks,
we'll catch you in the next one.
Say, end us off, Tyler.
That's all, folks.